every road of my life. Let's sing it again together. Oh yes, His mercy, every road of my life. Yes, His mercy, every thankful for that tonight. Oh yes, His mercy, every road of my life. Yes, His mercy, every road of my life. When I privileged people we are tonight to be able to say His mercy, yes, it rerolls my life. Yes, Lord, Your great mercy, it rerolls my life. I should have fallen, my soul cast. Oh, let's just worship Him a little while with His presence here. Oh, God's mercy. Thank You, the good that I could do, but just His mercy rerolled my life. When I should have fallen, my soul cast down, but mercy rerolled. Amen. God is good. Amen. Good to be in church again in His presence together. And amen. There's not because of the building, not as much as I love you, even not because of the people, not because of me or Brother Layton, but there's nowhere I'd rather be than in His presence. Amen. Wherever that is. I've been in churches all around the world and felt His presence. Amen. I thought, this is where I want to be, where His presence is. Amen. Amen. God bless you tonight. Kiev. This is number eight in your hymn book. How many wants to see Him? Amen. We can see Him tonight. Brother Bram said, he said, the only way we'll see Him here is we can see Him in each other. Amen. See His attributes moving among the bride. Oh, as I journey through the land, singing as I go, just pointing souls to Calvary, to the crimson. Well, many arrows pierce my soul from a thousand. Oh, there to sing forever.
But my Lord goes ahead, he leads whatever betide. And though I want to see him, look upon his face, oh, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, just let me miss my Lord, my cares all past. Home at last, ever to, let's stand and sing it. Well, oh, I want to see it. And when in valleys low, I look toward the mountain high, and behold my Savior there, he's leading in my fight. With a tender hand outstretched toward the valley low, friends, he's guiding me. Oh, I can see as I onward go, and oh, I want to see him. Just look upon his face, oh, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, just let me lift my voice. Oh, cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. And when before me billows rise from the mighty deep, and my Lord directs my heart, he does save the key. Through this world below, oh, he's a real friend to me. Oh, I love him so, and so I want to see him. Look upon his face, oh, there to sing forever. Oh, let me lift my voice, oh, cares all past, home at last, ever to return. I want to hear you sing it. My voice, my cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice.
Amen. You feel like rejoicing tonight? Amen. Praise the Lord. Good to be in church again together. And just wanted to announce, Lord willing, Sunday night, this coming Sunday night, will be our communion and foot washing service. So service will be at 6:30 Sunday night, and we'll be having communion and foot washing. Got several testimonies we want to share. Brother Furman, he'd had a prayer request for a co-worker's husband, Mike Harden, that was having open heart surgery. And he said he went and checked on him this morning, and he was sitting up in a chair doing really well for somebody who'd had open heart surgery on Monday. So praise the Lord for that. And then Sister Sarah gave this testimony, said, praise report, blood work came back perfect. God showed his love. His love to me again and again. Give him praise, Sister Estera. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Glad to hear that testimony as well. And Rebecca's granny, that Sister Dodge, she had broken her foot, but for having a broken foot, she's doing extremely well and a lot better than expected. Getting around in a little, they got a little boot thing on her, and she's getting around really well in that. So let's just give the Lord a hand clap of praise for these testimonies. Amen. His healing power. He's good. He still answers prayer, and we sure thank Him for that. And He answered one of Brother Joel's prayers this week. Brother Joel's been trying for several months, interviewing different jobs and just trying to find where the Lord would find a place for him. And he accepted a job offer this week, so we'll praise the Lord for that. And God's still on the throne. He knows what we have need of and knows how to supply. So also, Sister Lisa Cooley turning a prayer request, requesting prayer for a 13-year-old boy, Cameron, diagnosed with leukemia. We certainly want to remember that child in prayer. I know if it was my child, I'd want somebody praying. 13 years old and leukemia, I'm sure that's difficult for the family, but we know God still heals cancer. And also, Brother Luke Gibson, he's still traveling in South Africa ministering there, so just want to continue to remember him in prayer. And how many of you have an unspoken prayer request you'd like to bring the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. I know the Lord sees each one. Brother Jimmy, would you just come and lead us in a word of prayer tonight over these requests?
Our head. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we're gathered once again in your name. For there's no other name in heaven and earth that was ever given, Lord, sweeter than yours. Father, we come here today because we love you.
Yes, Jesus.
And Lord, we bring our request before you because, Lord, we know there's no other place we'd rather turn them into, Lord, that we know that you're more than able to take care of them. Lord, how I heard the little boy, 13 years old, with leukemia, Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, reach out to that family, Lord. Go to that young man,
yes,
Lord. Let a great and mighty testimony come forth,
yes,
Lord.
Jesus.
By only your hand can do those things,
yes,
Lord. Father, be with Brother Luke, Lord, as he ministers, Lord, to lost souls, Lord, that they would come in this late hour.
Yes,
Father, we realize we're at the brink of a rapture, Lord. Lord, we each every person here tonight, Lord, become expecting, Lord, to draw a little closer, to be ready to go, Lord. Father, we just pray now that to continue to the service, Lord. We turn it over into your hands, Lord. Be with Brother Nathan, Lord, as he brings a message forth, Lord. Lord, just help him get out of the way, Lord, and let you just take over. And Father, we just turn the service over to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you. You can be seated tonight. Specials lined up, but I don't think either one of them made it, so you have to put up with me again tonight. Amen. I got a couple of these on my heart that we can sing as congregationals together. Number 28 in your hymn book. Oh, let me walk, blessed Lord, in the way thou hast gone, leading straight to the land above.
Is that how
way every day with your love. Oh, fill my way every day with love. As I walk with your heavenly love, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Oh, fill my way. But Brother Nathan, my neighbor talked bad about me. Oh, fill my way every day with love. Oh, as I walk with the heavenly dove, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Oh, fill my way every day.
Just a page back there, number 22 in your hymn book. Well, I heard an old story, how my Savior came from glory. Oh, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious love. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, yes, it's victory in Jesus. He's my Savior forever. Oh, he sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. Oh, he loved me, yeah. About his cleansing power revealing, how he had made the lame to walk again. Then he called the blind to see. Oh, and then I cried to Jesus, Lord, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, yes, it's victory. Of his cleansing power and feeling. Oh, how he made the lame to walk again. And he caused the blind to see. Oh, and then I cried, dear Jesus, Lord, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, yes, it's victory in Jesus, my Savior.
raise somebody's hand tonight while we sing it again. It's the victory in
you tonight. We want to pick up again where we left off last Wednesday night on flawed characters, and we've been going through the lineage of Jesus. Before we get into the scripture, I might make mention, I don't know about how you feel, and I don't even know whether I feel led to take a vote on it or not, but how many has been enjoying the Sunday evening services? Amen. Well, I think we'll continue on with those, Lord willing. But I was mentioning to Brother Layton what I will probably do. I know there's many of you that would probably like to visit some of the other local assemblies, and with us having three services makes it kind of difficult to do that. Every once in a while, I think it'd be good to go over and show our support at the other assemblies. There's a lot of other assemblies that have Sunday night services. I guess all the other local assemblies do. Brother Brad's and Brother Samuel and Brother Joseph over there, and Brother Collins and different ones. So there may be sometimes through the rest of the year that we'll, maybe around holidays or different things, as just as the Lord leads, that we'll cancel some of the Sunday evening services. And I'll try to let you know several weeks out in advance so people don't show up and the doors be locked or whatever. And we'll put it on the website several weeks in advance as well, to let you know if we're going to have some omitted Sunday evening services. That'll give us a chance to fellowship with some of the other local assemblies and show our support there, but still allow us to be blessed by having the Sunday night services when we feel led as well. So I think that's probably, it seems how the Lord's leading me, so we'll plan on doing that, Lord willing. And we certainly have enjoyed them so far. Wanted to just say again, Sunday evening, this coming Sunday evening, will be communion and foot washing. So we'll want to come prayed up and looking forward to that. And Brother Stephen asked me Sunday, he said, I don't even know why you wear that jacket. He said, you take it off before you even hardly get started. And I said, well, I'm really legalistic about my song leader wearing a suit coat. So, so if that makes sense to you, I don't know. But no, I wear it until I feel like I can't take it anymore. Like I got to take it off, you know, from, I get a little overheated. And then if I turn the air down, everybody else will be complaining. So want to look at this again. St. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac, and Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judas and his brethren. Technical difficulties here, I apologize. And Judas begot Phares and Zerah of Tamar, and Phares begot Ezram, and Ezram begot Aram, and Aram begot Amminadab, and Amminadab begot Nahson, and Nahson begot Salmon, and Salmon begot Boaz of Rahab. Let's just bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we look into this thought again, on the lineage, Lord, how that you had it predestinated down through time for each of these men and women that are mentioned here in St. Matthew and over in St. Luke as well, to see how that you came down through time and you used men that they weren't perfect, Even Brother Branham, as he goes in to look at it, brings out many things, many flaws that each one of them had. Abraham, things that he said about him, and Jacob, things that he said about him, Isaac, and on down through Judah and the different ones, that these weren't perfect men, but they were men that you could get a hold of and use. And how it encourages our hearts, Lord, to look at it, because we're not perfect men or women either. And Lord, even looking in the lineage here of the women, Rahab and Ruth and Tamar and different ones that came down through, they weren't perfect. But once they recognized the truth and yielded themselves to you, you were able to use them in a special way, Father. And Lord, I just ask that you would do the same for us tonight. Lord, take human clay again, and Lord, just help me to move myself out of the way. Lord, those that are here, no doubt they've been facing battles all week, and maybe their mind, Lord, just all over the place with troubles, maybe financial troubles or spiritual troubles or just pressures in this age that we live in, whatever it would be. But help us just set aside for a little while just to look into your word and to learn more about you, that it might encourage us and draw us closer to you, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you tonight. You can be seated. We looked at this last week again. We picked up initially and looked at Abraham, and then we went over to Isaac and Jacob and spent some time on Judah there and different ones that we've been looking down through this lineage of Jesus and bringing out different points of things in their lives. And we looked last Wednesday night at Rahab, and we want to pick that up again. And just want to kind of background a little bit to get caught up to where we're at tonight, and how that in the scriptures we read through it in the book of Joshua last week, how that God had used this woman. And here she was, most of us would have looked at her and we probably wouldn't have made her feel very welcome in a message church. Here she was, a harlot, and she had had a bad background. But yet God, in sending these spies out, he leads Joshua, just as Moses had sent out 12 spies to spy out the land. Now they're not just going over to get a preview of the land, but they're actually going and they're starting to go to battle and begin to take this land. And the first city that they came to was one of the biggest and most well-fortified cities that they would have to take. And they come up to this, and what a great battle that it looks like it's going to be, knowing that there's giants in the land and knowing that all the difficulties they're going to face, and to see these great big walled cities, and to them, to the natural carnal mind, it looked like it was almost impossible to take it. How would this little group of men, they weren't raised in the military, some of them were raised as bricklayers and things in Egypt, and most of that generation had died out, and now that there was this young generation that had been wandering in the wilderness, and maybe they were great desert dwellers, and they were maybe good hunters and things like that, but they hadn't faced a whole lot of natural physical battles. And here they come up against this great military fortified city, and Joshua, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, he sends out these two spies to check out the land. And when they go there, there were a lot of houses in Jericho that they could have went by, but historians teach us that not only was she a prostitute, but that she was also an innkeeper, and they happened to go by there to stay at this inn, and they could have picked any motel. They could have picked a Motel 6 or Super 8 or a Hilton or whatever they were going to stay at. But they came by this woman's house that no doubt she had a poor name in the city, and no doubt she was probably not very well renowned. There were probably other places that they could have picked. But God led these spies to a predestinated seed for a twofold purpose, because not only had he led them to the wrong house, or they went on their own choosing and not followed the will of God and not found out, Lord, where would you lead us to? What house should we go in? As they went in to spy out the city, if they had entered into the wrong house, it would have meant their death, because no doubt they would have exposed them for what they were and went and told the governor of the city or the mayor of the city, whatever it would be, and began to tell him, oh my, these spies came in amongst us, and I know you're looking for them, and I can tell you exactly where they're at because they're staying in my inn. But here they come by Rahab's house, her being a predestinated seed. Not only was it for their protection, but being a predestinated seed, it was also for her protection, that God working on both ends of the line, it was for their protection in the temporary, but it was also for her salvation and the salvation of her house and the salvation of those that would come down through her lineage. God was looking long-term for her for protection through his predestination. He led them right to her doorstep, and he's also looking for the short-term to protect these men so that they can take this message back to Joshua. God knows what he's doing. Amen. Amen. Maybe he led somebody to your doorstep that gave you the truth. Or maybe it was your parents' doorstep. Or maybe it was your grandparents that somehow they came across this great message of the end time. And there was a leadership, and it wasn't just by chance, but a predestinated seed. Brother Branham even said on tape, we heard it recently, he said those tapes, I believe it's Taking Sides with Jesus in 1962, he said those tapes will find their way into the hands of the predestinated. Amen. I'm glad to be one of those that it found that my found my way into my hands. Amen. It's not just to sit on my bookshelf and not just to gather dust, but to be able to be used and not only to be able to be played, because the devil can sit and listen to the audio and it's not going to do him any good. But when there's something, a seed down on the inside that word can begin to water and it begin to grow, then it becomes more than a cassette case on a shelf, but it becomes a living instrumentality that the word still producing the word made flesh, not just for the prophet, not just for the pastor, but for the bride of Jesus Christ. It's a quickening word. It's an eternal word. And many times we forgot where we came from, that we maybe weren't always in this, or maybe our family wasn't always in this, but somehow somebody came along and felt led to give us that tape or that book or to tell us about God sending a prophet. In the same way it happened for Rahab, that by the time the spies actually physically got there, a witness had already begun to testify to her about what had happened in the land. Let's look at this from adoption number 3, and we'll listen to it, Lord willing, on Sunday. Pick it up where we left off. He said, how do you know that old bootlegger down here is not predestinated to life? Now, we live in a 2015 mentality, so he's not talking about somebody that's illegally making tapes. He's talking about like a moonshiner, somebody that's making alcohol illegally. He said, do you know that old bootlegger down here is not, how do you know that old bootlegger down here is not predestinated to life? How do you know that old streetwalker that you won't even speak to? How do you know that a little handshake and invite her to church wouldn't make a saint of God out of her yonder in glory with? How do you know she's not? He said, that's what we don't know, but that's our duty. Like a fisherman throwed a net into the sea and pulled out, he brought frogs, fish, lizards, water spiders, and everything else. But some of them was fish. He didn't know. He just cast the net. That's what we do. That's what we do. Oh, my. I believe you say, oh, what if I testify to somebody? What if they come to church and they cause trouble? And what if they're just, you know, what if it just causes a mess? Hey, you get out there and testify long enough, you'll probably testify to some snakes and lizards and crawfish and everything else, but you'll find some real fish out there. And that's what a real Christian does. There's a burden on their heart for lost souls, that it's not just enough. It wasn't just enough for Rahab, for her to say, well, bless God, I've got it. But she said, what about my family? What about my household? What about, he said, you just, anybody you can get in the house, you get them down there and we'll call protection over your whole household. But anybody that's outside of the house, we're not responsible for. It's not just enough to get them to say, well, we believe God sent a prophet. There's many that have said that are falling away to the left and falling away to the right. But if we can ever get them to an experience of what that prophet was talking about, that he said at the end of the church age book there, he said, what I feel that he said my call is to do, he said, it's not to just raise a denomination for men to look at me, but he said it's to establish a relationship between men and God. To establish a relationship towards men and God. That's what we're here to do tonight, is try to encourage you in your walk and try to establish a relationship between God and man. If we're not here, if we're here for any other reason, then we're wasting our time. If we're just trying to get people on our side of things or our political views or our doctrinal views, we're wasting our time, because that's not gonna be enough to quicken the people for a rapture. There's many that have been swayed intellectually to a certain thinking of doctrinal discipline and church order and all these different things, and they sat there and intellectually they believed it for years, and they walked the walk, two steps forward, three steps right, and they did everything just the way that most message believers would think it should be done, but they never had a real relationship between God and themselves. And when the pressure began to come, the rules and the twos and don'ts and all the intellectual knowledge wasn't enough to keep them. But there was another group of people that was there that they still did all the do's and don'ts, and they still believed the church order and still believed all these things. But it was more than that to them. It was more than just a book of rules, but it was a life, because they had met the author. I never got a chance to shake Brother Branham's hand. He was dead before I was here, but I've met the author of his message. Amen. It wasn't just a man that God sent and just words of a man, but it was God borrowing human lips and borrowing a human body to relay a message to an end time people. And I may not have met the man that spoke the words, but I met the man that spoke them through him. Amen. Oh, it's so important in this day. So many haven't met the man. He said, that's our duty. That's what we do. As I was with Moses, 1960, he said, now Rahab the harlot, known as a harlot, she was a type of the believer today, the real believer. She was known as a harlot, but yet she was a type of the real believer today. He said, she didn't say, now I hear that Joshua can do signs because he's the successor of Moses. I'd like to see those signs, and if I could see those signs, then I'll believe it. Well, he didn't absolutely have to show those signs because she believed it anyhow. She wasn't a Thomas. She believed it. And Moses, when he had signs, he went down and performed those signs. But the sign, listen to this, but the sign isn't the thing that took them to the promised land. It wasn't. The signs was the vindication of the commission, and Rahab believed it without seeing it. Amen. There are those here that saw it in action. Brother and Sister Layton, I know for sure, and Brother Yarbrough, he's out of town, but he saw it as well. And different ones, I believe Brother Truman had the privilege of being in some of Brother Bram's meetings, and different ones. Brother Layton and Sister Layton, their honeymoon was spent in California there when Brother Bram preached that series in Bakersfield in 1964. And he turns his back to the audience, and he begins to discern the thoughts and the intents of the heart. They saw the sign. Amen. And they believed the sign. And thank God for it, or we wouldn't have them here this evening, and they wouldn't be able to be a pillar in the church and a help with the music and the deaconship and the ministry and different things like that if they hadn't recognized the sign. But there's many of the rest of you that are here that never actually saw the sign with your own eyes, but you believed it anyhow. Amen. I worry about this generation coming up because I've been privileged to have conversations with Brother Layton and Brother Jesse Branham and Brother Roy Roberson and different ones that were here, and some of my wife's grandparents and different ones and my father-in-law that were here and literally saw it with their eyes and got to sit down and have meals with him and can testify to his sister Helen Borders and different ones that could tell us. Brother Billy Paul sitting there day in and day out with him in the meetings and standing there and seeing the angel of the Lord perform the thing that he did on the platform night after night after night through his own daddy's ministry, and all these testimonies that we have of eyewitness accounts, Brother Biscoe and different ones that was there to see it and have lived on to testify about it. But I worry about this generation coming up that won't know those men, that won't have the opportunity to sit down and be able to talk with those men that were there and sought for themselves. They'll still be a predestinated seed that'll believe it, even though they didn't get to sit down and have a meal with those men that got to witness, like they, you know, like Brother Collins and Brother Hickerson and these men that we've had the privilege of knowing, but that had interactions with him and meals with him and spent time with their families together. But you know what? There'll be a predestinated seed that, even though maybe they didn't know anybody personally that was physically there, I'm sure there's many in Africa and India and different places, maybe their grandparents or their parents didn't know anything about it. Maybe they've never got the chance to shake somebody's hand that was in the meeting, but there was something about it when then they heard that same predestinated seed that was down on the inside of you that was able to accept it, even if they didn't personally know anybody. I didn't personally know Lazarus, but I believe his testimony. I didn't personally know Jonah, and frankly, his story for the intellectual mind is harder to believe than anything the message has ever produced, but I still believe Jonah's testimony. Many are falling away because they say, oh, we don't have enough proof. Well, I can't prove to you about Jonah in the whale. I have absolutely not one shred of historical or scientific evidence except just an infallible word of God that I believe with all my heart. I mean, I don't have Lazarus' death certificate to show you the date that he died and the date that he raised and all the mighty things that were done. I don't have a sample of the cup where Jesus changed the water to wine to show you the molecules and everything to prove it to you tonight. But I don't need proof because I believe it by revelation, not because we're just blindly following something, but because we see what the same word that did back then produces today. Why would I have any reason to doubt? when we still see the sick healed and the dead raised and the lame walk and the blind see and the empty filled and the lost saved, if he's still doing it today, why is it so hard for him to believe that he could do it in 1964 or in Moses' day or Noah's day? I believe because I still see it. Amen. I didn't see Noah do it. I didn't see Noah build the ark. I didn't see Moses part the Red Sea. But I've seen the same God do just as miraculous things in this day. Amen. I didn't see the walls of Jericho fall, but I believe because I've seen what else he can do. Amen. And so something so supernatural. Now you can imagine going to battle and you get ready, prepared for battle. And the great general of your army says, now we won't need any machine guns today. We don't need any knives. We don't need any bayonets. We don't need any machetes. In fact, we don't even need any armor. We don't need any first aid kits. We don't need the Red Cross wagon. And we don't need all these different things. You just get dressed and you get your shouting shoes on. And you priests, you get the trumpets. And we're going to march around these walls 7 times. And when we blow those trumpets the 7th time, representing the 7th trumpet and the 7th church age and the 7th messenger and the 7th seal, and on we could go typing those 7s. But yet he said, when we get around that 7th time, I want all you priests to blow the trumpets. And I want you to shout with the shout of victory. And we're just going to stand back and see what God can do with this battle. Amen. He gave the battle to the Lord. He didn't try to figure it out. Now, let's see. We've got these walls. They're this thick, divided by this width. And if we could get a device to drill through and we could figure out, maybe if we could start late at night and we could run it quiet enough, maybe we could get a hole large enough to get a certain amount of men through at a time. Maybe we could get through the city and get our army in there in the middle of the night. And maybe they wouldn't recognize. And he didn't sit down and try to figure out the scientific possibility. And he didn't study the art of war and try to figure out the best tactical maneuvers. He said, we're just going to go and we're going to march around the wall 7 times. We're going to blow the trumpet. We're going to shout because that's what God said to do. And I don't know what's going to happen after that. We may have to grab something, a stone or a rock or whatever, and fight for everything that was within us. But all I know is God said to do it. And I'm going to go that far until he shows me to do something else. I'm just going to keep walking in the way that he showed me. Amen. And they got up there to this great city and they began to walk around. No doubt those men looked over the walls and said, there's that crazy cult again. They've been wandering out in the desert for 40 years following a prophet. Now he's dead and they're out there following a dead man. I've been reading things on the internet all about him, and look at him. They don't have a sword, don't have a shield. They're just marching around and around. They've been doing this for days, and now, look, this is the 6th time they've been around today. I think they got heat stroke out in there. They drank the Kool-Aid or something. My, look at these guys. They've lost their minds. How do they think they're ever going to be able to penetrate these walled cities? They haven't even tried to hit it with anything or test it with anything. They haven't shot any arrows up in here. They're just marching around and around and around. But then they begin to blow the trumpets and they begin to shout. And there was something about those men. Those walls begin to shake and they begin to crumble and they begin to fall. Man, let me tell you tonight, friends, if God wants you to have something, if he wants you to have healing, if he wants you to have deliverance, if he wants you to have salvation, if he wants you to have your family, your children, your finances straightened out, your marriage straightened out, whatever it is, I don't care how many walled cities say you can't have it. I don't care how many giants stand in your way or how many demons out of hell say it'll never take place. If God wants you to have something, he'll give it to you in a way that only he can. Amen. There was no way, there was no military plan that Joshua could have devised that would have been this great. There was no amount of men that he could have hired to fight this city with him that it would have been this great. There was nothing in that day. They didn't have bombs and missiles and rockets and things to shoot at these walls. And there was no way in their own capability, in their own intellects, that they could have did this. But they just committed to God and they walk around and around. And maybe about 6 times around, maybe some of them in the back said, you think Joshua really knows what he's doing? This is the strangest military tactic I've ever heard of. I'm starting to, you know, this is 6 times we've walked around. My feet are sore today, and I just don't know if he knows what he's doing. You know, he has no military plan. All he's doing is following what God told him to do. And another man said, oh, yes, that's better than having armor and weapons and everything. Said, oh, I remember, you're too young, Sonny, to remember. Maybe Caleb turned around and told him, you back there in the back, stop your straggling and stop your trying to convince people to be defectors. Said, I was with Moses one day, and we came up against the Red Sea. And in the back of my mind, Satan began to tell me, oh, yeah, here it is. You followed this prophet, and there were signs and wonders, and it was all wonderful. But now look at the predicament that he's got. got you in. And Satan began to bother my mind and begin to question. And he said, but then he reached over and told Joshua and Aaron, said, hand me my staff a minute, boys. And he began to stand up and stretch out his arms. And where there was a sea that there was absolutely no way we could cross, and the enemy had us pinned in, where the doctor said there was no hope, and where the banker said there was no hope, and where the psychiatrist said there was no hope, yet God made a way where there was no way. He said, you weren't there, you young little whippersnappers, to see it, but I'm a witness. Oh, my, and they begin to pipe down a little bit. And when the walls begin to fall and the whole city began to shake except for one little household that the token had been applied to, no doubt they could look and see what a mighty God that could deliver this city into the hand. It was a walled city of giants, but he delivered it to Israel in a supernatural way. They didn't have to pick up a weapon. They didn't have to pick up an axe. They didn't have to pick up a rocket and try to knock the walls down, but God just brought the walls down where it seemed like they couldn't be brought down. Amen. I'm sure you have similar testimonies in your life that when it seemed like against all odds, against all possibilities, you were up against a wall or you were facing a giant, but God said, that's okay. You just do what I tell you to do, and I'll take care of the giant when you get there. I'll take care of the wall when you get there. I'll take care of the deliverance and the healing. You just keep walking in my steps, and you keep following as I lead, and I'll make a way where there is no way. Oh my. Why Little Bethlehem, 1958. This is a rather lengthy quote, but it goes right along with this so well. He said, and this young woman, after she got her first hearing of Israel and of a God who was a God that answered prayer, not only a God to pray to, but a God that answered back. When she heard that there was a God of miracles who could perform miracles, who dried up the seas and rained bread out of the heavens, her heart began to tremble. And when she first got the message from two preachers, oh, surely you don't believe that. Surely you don't believe God uses preachers. When she got the first message from two preachers that went over, quickly she accepted it with all her heart. And there was a scarlet cord bound at her window for a protection of her house because that she had received the message. And I might add here, did you know she typed the Gentile church? She was a Gentile, and she was a type of the Gentile church when they heard the message. We were all out in spiritual prostitution, committing spiritual fornications against the God of heavens and all kinds of stuff, all kinds of denominations and religions. But when we heard that there was a God that lived, a God that still lived, that could perform miracles, quickly we received the message. There was applied the blood of the Lord Jesus, which made the scarlet cord. And to keep from going into detail, you know how she hung it from her window publicly. Listen to this. The blood was displayed publicly. That's the way the blood's got to be displayed publicly, hanging from the outside wall to show that on the inside something had taken place. That's the way the true believer in Christ is this morning. On the outside is the display of the blood of the Lord Jesus that shows something took place on the inside. Oh, I know people get sick of me preaching on holiness and talking about how you should wear your skirts and how you should wear your hair and how you should wear your blouses and things like that. But oh, you say, oh, I don't think that's very important. It's very important that the world out here see that there was something that took place on the inside. And if something really took place on the inside, it'll begin to represent itself on the outside. Now, there are many that can represent it on the outside, and they just, you know, kind of whitewash it. And like we talked about the ark with Noah, it wasn't just enough for him to pitch the outside of the ark, nor was it just enough for him to pitch the inside of the ark, but it had to be pitched on the outside and on the inside. And it's not just enough for you to go out and say, well, I got an intellectual conception of the message. I'll stop cutting my hair. I'll stop wearing pants. I'll stop doing all these different things, cutting my hair and whatever it would be when we begin to look into the Word, and we see what Moses taught and what Paul taught and all these different scriptures about holiness living and things like that, and we begin to recognize it. When intellectually we begin to do that, that's wonderful. That's a step in the right direction, but that's not enough, because just because somebody convinced you by the scriptures that it was wrong to do those things, if you don't get something down on the inside, there'll be somebody smarter come along and convince you intellectually that it's okay to do them. But when you get pitched on the outside and the inside, then that inside work of grace begins to produce on the outside to show I am a believer, and because I believe, there's something on the outside that's reflecting that inside work. He said, and through this, God looked down when the wrath fell and the trumpets began to blow. God seen that scarlet cord hanging there as a memorial. It's always pleased him to pass over the blood. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And he saw it. And when the shaking and the Holy Spirit rumbled the earth and shook down them walls, some 20 feet thick, not one rock fell where that cord was hanging. Not one rock fell where that cord was hanging. You remember the quote we read last Wednesday night? He said, Rahab and her house, all the rest of them, looking out the windows, afraid. He said, but they could just sit in their house and read the scriptures. And not even have to look out the window to see what was going on, not have to worry, not have to turn on the news every 5 minutes and see what Iran is doing. And I said some other country last week, but you knew what I was talking about. Not see what this is going on and what that's going on and be worried to death. I'm not planning on being here when all that happens anyhow. Amen. Not one rock fell where that cord was hanging. Shows the protection of a true God to a true believer. No matter what state you're in when he finds you, if you'll accept that scarlet cord, it weaves through the Bible. And then when we see her, when she was taken in as one of the Israelites, she fell in love with the man which was a captain and a prince in Judah. And he was the captain of the Israelite armies. His name was Salmon, just like the king Solomon. And he was the great captain. And she became in a great romance with the captain, which was a prince of Judah. And finally, she married him. And when the estate was settled up for the Israelites, she and her beloved husband lived in Bethlehem. Now you begin to see it open, haven't you? See, it began to open as we see that in Bethlehem she lived, being a Gentile bride to a Jew. Why? Because she believed in a miracle-working God. And look what she came out from. Being out of a house of ill fame, of prostitution, through her conversion and through her unfailing faith in God, it brought her from a prostitute house to a beautiful home in Bethlehem. He said, oh, what a difference. That's the way it does for all of us. From a house of unbelief and frustrations, that immoral acts and everything, to a place, position in Christ, which is most beautiful, from the ridiculous to the sublime. That's the difference that it makes through our conversion. And did you see? She married a prince of the house of Judah, a captain. That captain and represented Christ, took to himself a Gentile bride. Oh, you want to talk about grace? Here God had a people, and oh, they weren't perfect. They had their flaws, and we've looked at the different ones. And here, God looking down through time, but yet he predestinates. Brother Bram said, this woman here, Rahab, he said, last week we read it. He said, if you know anything about the Bible, he said, you know she was a predestinated seed. He said the same thing about the woman at the well and different ones. Yet God looking down through their mistakes, through their faults, through their shortcomings, and he looks down through and he sees a predestinated plan, and he recognizes them in this predestinated plan, that yes, they have faults and yes, they have mistakes, but their life matches and types so perfectly my plan of redemption. How that there was a Gentile group of people, and here my people Israel had rejected the word because of they were blinded for grace's sake, so that we could see. And how that she goes and she marries this Israelite captain, knowing that one day we would be able to enter into the marriage of the Lamb with the Prince of Peace and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that we would have a relationship even with our shortcomings and our mistakes and our weaknesses and our flaws, that he would look beyond all that, and in his grace he would look down through time and he would change a branch away from his people, the Israelites and the Jews there, to come and to have a branch of Gentiles down through seven church ages, so that one out of this generation could accept it, and one over here out of this generation, and one out of this church, and one out of this family, and one over here, and one out of there, until he brought it up to a great plan of redemption. And it's hard for us to look sometimes and imagine, why Lord, why would you pick me? There were better people in my family, there were better people in my neighborhood, there were better people in my city or in the state or in the country. Why would you look down and pick me? But God knows what he's doing. And when God does something, it's eternal. God doesn't just do something just to begin a good work in you and then just throw you to the side. But God knows what he's doing. And when God begins to do a work, just like he did in Rahab, there were many there in the city that could have probably looked around and thought, well, I don't know who she thinks she is. I knew her back when she was this, and I knew her back when she was that. But they weren't looking at that. Joshua wasn't looking at the past. He was looking at the promise. Amen. There was a token that was applied. And I think it's interesting that here these spies went, and in faith, they made a promise and they made a vow to her about the protection of her city. And they went back and they told the great leader of that day, Joshua, which Brother Branham said types the Holy Ghost. And then Joshua, he had to make the same vow, depending that, even though it wasn't in his capability, really, he didn't have anything to do with the walls falling down in Jericho any more than you or I did. All he did was following the commandments of God, marched around the city, but it was God that knocked the walls down. And here these two spies, they say, yes, we'll make this covenant with you. And they come back and they tell Joshua, we made this covenant. And Joshua tells the Lord, Lord, we made this covenant with this lady. And not only did Joshua honor the spies' word, but God honored Joshua's word. And God, who was the only one that really could protect her in the first place, was the one that protected her household. And we think sometimes, oh, I'm so frail and I'm just a weak Christian and all these different things. But you remember, as we looked at last week, even that weakest Christian, when he falls on his knees, Satan begins to tremble because he knows who we're talking to. And then it's not so much our words anymore than it wasn't so much the words of these spies. They didn't have a whole lot of authority, but they served a general who had authority, and he served a God who had supreme authority. And they began to work through the lines of the ranks, and they took this word back. Remember, Jesus said, if you lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. If you agree as touching any one thing together, I'll hear an answer. He said, if two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be in their midst. Now, there's no of those things that I can do to produce that, to just make it so, but I believe his word. And so when I go and lay hands on the sick and pray for them, I don't have any power of my own, but I serve a general that has power over the whole thing. Amen. And I believe when I, not because it's my words, but because we honor in obedience to his word, we lay hands on the sick, we lay hands on those that are afflicted, or those that are having problems, or those that are struggling with things in their life. I don't have any bit more power to cast the devil out than Mickey Mouse would, but I serve a God that has power to cast them out. And he doesn't honor so much the words of Nathan Bryant, but when I begin to go and I'm reminded of his words, and I come under obedience to those words, then he is obligated to back that up. From the lowest of lowest to the principal and best place in the land, as we'll get to it later in our message, to prove that it was. Nothing else could be but that. They're a type of the Gentile church. He says again, as I was with Moses, 1960. He said, this great harlot Rahab became a believer. I took her history not long ago, and after she was considered and brought into the faith because of her belief in God, she was brought into Israelite faith, a proselyte, and she courted a general in the army of the Israelite army. Watch what God did for that woman. And they moved up in Bethlehem. They had a son, and this son, they called him Boaz. Out of Boaz, he married Ruth. And from Ruth and Boaz come Jesse, and out of Jesse come David, and out of David come Jesus. He said, hallelujah. Hey, man, you say, oh, Brother Nathan, I'm nothing. Yeah, Rahab probably felt the same way. But out of her came a Boaz, and out of Boaz came a Jesse, and out of Jesse came a David, and out of David come a Jesus. Oh, my, what a wonderful plan of God that we serve. Many times we begin to look down at this, and we think, oh, look, I failed here, and I failed here, and I made a mistake there, and I thought a bad thought here, and I made a mistake over there, and I did this over there, and I stumbled over here, and this happened today, and this happened this afternoon, and this happened this evening, and we begin to just rack it all up, and the devil's keeping tally on us. You know, oh, you slipped again, you made a mistake again, and he'll remind you of it. But remember, Brother Bram said in adoption, he said, a sinner doesn't really sin. He said, a sinner's just a sinner. But he said, us Christians, we make a mistake, not willingly, but he said, sometimes we'll make a mistake. But he said, well, quickly, what do we do? He tells us in question and answers, he said, if we do make a mistake, he said, quickly, there's something in us that convicts our heart to go, oh God, forgive me for that. Help me to make it right. You know, I didn't mean to do that. You know, it was just a trap of the devil. And what does it do? Restores us back into heavenly places in Christ Jesus again. Yes. Amen. Thank God for his grace. Amen. If it wasn't for His grace, I couldn't stand here tonight. I can tell you that much. But He's not looking at every little mistake and every little stumble and every little thought. He's looking at the blood. Amen. No doubt Rahab being a new Christian, no doubt she probably had many mistakes, and maybe she had many things of the traditions of her fathers and things that she had to get away from, and maybe it took time for her to get up to what we call, you know, a top-notch Christian, but there was something about it. Once the blood was applied, God wasn't looking at all these little mistakes and all these little scruples and things in her past, but He was looking at the token that was applied. Amen. I'm thankful tonight He's not looking at every little thing that I do and say, but He's looking at the token that's applied, the blood sacrifice. Remember Brother Branham in that vision, he said he went down there and there was that lady and said, oh, he was ready to just judge her and said, God, why don't you wipe the whole thing off the map? And God showed him that vision of the blood of Jesus acting like a bumper. And he said he saw Him carrying all these sins on His back. He said, oh, is that the sins of the world, Lord? He said, no, that's just your sins. I know people don't like that quote around the message, but that's what he said. Said, no, that's just your sins. I'd hate to see what it looked like my sins, Brother David, if that was his sins. He'd have to have a railroad set of cars to carry my sins if he had all Brother Branham's in a bag packing it. He'd have to get a whole railroad load of cars to pack mine, I'm sure. But yet, he was so quick to judge her. But then when we turn the mirror the other way, many times that's how we get. Oh, bless God, this brother over here and that sister over there, and they did this and they said this. Why don't we turn that mirror the other way and look at our sins in the mirror that he's packing every once in a while? James chapter 2 verse 18, he said, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, and thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works? And by works was faith made perfect, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed in God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Now this is the same man that we read about over in Genesis that was a liar and that was always trying to put his wife out there to protect himself from getting killed. Brother Branham called him a backslidden prophet and a liar. And James come over here and he doesn't say anything about all that. He said that he was justified through faith and it was imputed to him for righteousness and he was called the friend of God. Amen. Why? Because he wasn't, the blood of Jesus had been shed. He's not looking back at all the mistakes now. He's looking at Abraham through the blood. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is, so faith without works is dead also. Because see, if we really have faith, then it'll put you into action. Right. You can't say, oh, yes, I'm going to get in trouble tonight already, I can tell. But say, oh, I believe the message, but still doing all these other things out here. If you've got faith, then why don't you put your works into action? He says again, faith without works is dead, 1950. He said, see what faith is, what faith you have, that's what God sees. But your works is, that's what your neighbor sees. See, show me your works by your faith without your faith, and I'll show you my works by my faith. See? Romans chapter 4 verse 20, again speaking of Abraham. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in the faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Jehovah Jireh number 1, 1962, he says, some of us can be prayed for one night, and set in the meeting where the Holy Ghost is falling. And the next morning, if we ain't sound, well, solid, I'm still sick at my stomach a little bit. I can't move my hands anymore. You, Abraham's seed, he said, stagger not at the promise of God through unbelief. Something come up in the church, the devil can get amongst a group of fine people and get in there and go to whipping that congregation around. And the first thing you know, some say, huh, I'm going to leave this old thing. There wasn't nothing to it in the first place. Abraham's seed, my. First little flaw the devil can show you, then you're through with it. It showed you didn't believe it in the first place. That's the condition we see many around the message today. They were looking for a flaw. They were looking for a mistake. They were looking. Brother Branham says many times, he said, hey, if you came tonight to find mistakes, he said, I'm sure you'll find plenty. The devil will show you plenty. Yet in his message and the discernment and all these different things, there was no flaw in it. Why? Because God was watching over it. But even in that, if you come to find flaws and you come to find mistakes, hey, the Jews, they went and they tried to find flaws in Jesus. And they thought even in him that they found flaws. Amen. Saw a book title the other day, said, even if you're perfect, somebody would crucify you. Because there was only one person that was perfect. And they crucified him. So don't get upset when people go to talk bad about you or talk bad about the message. They're trying to find fault. They're trying to find flaws. But that just shows they didn't believe it in the first place. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. Verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that he had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff, this man that was a deceiver and a shyster, and this man Isaac that lied like his daddy did, and Jacob pulling all these shady things. And we know what Brother Branham said about him and what Genesis said about him. But here, Paul gets over and he says, by faith they did this and by faith they did that. And he didn't point back to any of those mistakes or any of those flaws. Verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Oh, I hope that when my obituary is written, Brother Joel, that they don't say, well, Brother Nathan, he was a pretty good guy, but he did this and he did that. He made this mistake over here, made that mistake over there, and oh my, I got into a real mess over here and did all these things over there, and they look back through my past and all the faults and all the failures and all the flaws. But I hope it can be written like these men. By faith, Brother Nathan stepped out and did this. And by faith, Brother Nathan stepped out and did that. And oh, sure, there were a lot of flaws and mistakes, but we're not looking at that. We're looking at the promise. Amen. We're not looking at each one of us to get a magnifying glass down and look and say, oh, look what this one did and look what that one did. But by grace, we're looking at a token that was applied, the blood that was shed over us. That, again, to clarify, let me just say before we close tonight, we're not promoting sin in saying all this. These men and women weren't, they, you know, we don't promote sin or we don't promote failures, but we do promote grace. Amen. And I believe that if we do make a mistake, remember John said, he said, sin not, little children, but if you do sin, you have an advocate. You have an advocate that's there, that if we do make a mistake, if we do make a fault, don't let the devil lie to you and say, oh, well, you just weren't predestinated to begin with. You might as well just go on back to the world. You never amount to anything. Oh, the devil loves to come and whisper that in your ear. But you know somebody that won't ever whisper that in your ear? The Lord Jesus. Amen. He's never tried to discourage me. He's never tried to lie to me or tell me I was a failure. He's always been there to encourage me and lift me up and give me encouragement by the word and by the tapes and by the ministry and by the singing and just encouragement everywhere. But there's an old guy that's an accuser of the brethren that he's always running around. If it's not somebody else doing it, he's doing it up here in my mind. Oh, you'll never make it. You'll never make it. You're not saved. You're not filled with the Holy Ghost. You're not predestinated. Oh, I'm sure I'm not the only one that he tries to lie to. But I have an atonement. I have an advocate. I'm not depending on myself. I'm not depending on my knowledge. I'm not depending on my intellects. I'm not depending on my wisdom. I'm depending on Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the only thing I can depend on. Joshua couldn't get up there to the walls and say, bless God, I'm the greatest. He could have said, there's a prophet coming in the last days that's going to stand on the face of the earth, and he's going to call me the greatest general that was ever on the face of the earth, and by that authority I command you walls to fall down. No, he wasn't relying in his own wisdom or in his own strength or in what anybody else said about him. He was relying on the promise that God promised it was their city, And he was recognizing that if it's my city and God promised it and I'm walking in the steps that God's walking in, God will provide a way for me to have it. Rahab didn't have the ability to save her own house. She didn't have the ability to protect her walls. She could have put up all kinds of steel barriers and you know, all kinds of walled up things around her little home there and said, oh, I sure hope the token's enough, but if not, I'm gonna put up this beam over here and I'm going to get this steel rod and put it up there and I'm going to get this concrete foundation structured up here in a certain way that maybe, you know, even though those walls fall, maybe my little house, maybe the token won't be enough, but maybe I can do this. That's like a lot of us sometimes. Oh, I know I've applied the token, but I'm going to try to do this, and I'm going to try to put my hand in it, and I'm going to try to do this, and I'm going to try to say this to my children, and I'm going to try to make them listen to this tape, and I'm going to try to make them go to that church, and I'm going to try to make them do this and that. Hey, you just apply the token. It's enough. It's enough. You just keep praying for them and keep seeking the token. You don't have to beat them over the head with it. Rahab didn't have to beat her family over the head to get them in there. She just said, hey, there's coming a destruction. If you want to get protected, these walled cities aren't enough. Let me tell you, Donald Trump or Obama or anybody else out here, that's not enough for protection from us. I want to be depending on the token tonight. I want to be depending on the word of God that was spoken in this age, that it's a promise to those that you, not just because that we can look at it and read it visibly with our eyes, the devil can do that, but because we've accepted it, it becomes a token to us in our day that we can recognize what God did in this day, and it becomes more than words to us. It becomes life to us. It becomes more than just a story or more than just a quote. It becomes more than life to us, where it's even more than our necessary food, as Job said. Amen. Is that how you believe it tonight? Amen. God bless you. If the musicians would come. I'm thankful for grace. Amen. I know I was flawed, but I thank God for grace. I thank God that He allowed these things to be written. Some of these things that are said about some of the men in the Bible, I was telling somebody, I think it was that brother... that Brother Branham talked about on the tape. He said, you know, he was talking about different things in a quote I read. He said, Brother so-and-so called his name. He said, you're going about it wrong in the way he was treating his wife, trying to cast the devil out of her. I said, I'm glad it wasn't said about me that my name was called that I was doing that. There's many things that were said about these men in the Bible that, you know, we'd probably be ashamed to have our name written up there, that Brother Nathan or Brother Layton or different brothers, Brother Joel, Brother Stephen, whoever did all these things, and that would be how you were known in the Old Testament, all the things that you did. I'd be pretty sad to have that written about me, but yet if I could come back around to the faith chapter and say, yes, all that's true, but over here, look what was said about me. Amen. Look what's said about me over here. I'm glad there was somebody that it could be said about. I'm glad that Brother Branham was the type of man that he could talk about the trials that he went through, and he could talk about the things that he faced instead of trying to just water coat it and shine it all up shiny and all. I try to tell the people that he never made a mistake or never did anything like that. But he was able to come and talk about telling the lie to the lawyer there. And he was able to talk about different things that he faced as a young man trying to go and shoot those boys and all these different things that he faced. Why? Because it gives me encouragement that, hey, I'm immortal too. I'm immortal too, that not immortal, but amortal. But I am immortal because I have the Spirit of God with me. And it's immortal. It's eternal. But I am amortal as well, that I face things and I go through trials and I go through things. And it said Elijah was a man of like passions, just like us. He had bad days. He had frustrations. I'm glad it said that about Elijah, because that gives me some grace for myself, that when I have a bad day, I can think, Lord, thank you for a man like Elijah that had bad days too. Amen. If every prophet and every priest and every king and every mighty man of valor down through the Bible had been perfect, it wouldn't give us much grace for ourselves. But I thank God for grace tonight. Amen. 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 A family from Georgia wrote this song, and the Lord gave me another verse to it yesterday, so I felt led to sing it tonight. You help me with it. Maybe we can learn this other verse as well about Jericho. Oh, God spoke to Moses, told him what to say to the children of Israel in Goshen that day. Slay the lamb, take the blood, strike the post and the door.
not all the firstborn. Oh, let the death angel pass, for God's bride saved at last. Aren't you thankful for that tonight? Oh, in this token he gave, oh yes, Lord, that we could be saved. Oh, hallelujah and glory to God. The blood's been applied, his spirit abides. Let the death angel pass. The spies went to Jericho, found a place they could stay. They hid on Rahab's rooftop. She said these giants are afraid. The scarlet thread was her token. For her family she prayed. God destroyed all of Jericho, but her whole house was saved. Let's stand and sing it together. Oh, let the death angel pass, God's bride safe at last. Oh, in this token he gave, that we could be saved. Oh, hallelujah and glory to God. Oh, his blood's been applied, his spirit abides. Let the death angel pass. Help me sing it tonight. Oh, the spies went to Jericho, found a place they could stay. They hid on Rahab's rooftop. She said these giants are afraid. The scarlet thread was her toe. Oh, for her family she prayed. God destroyed all of Jericho, but her whole house was saved. Oh, she can say, let that death angel pass. Oh, yes, my family, they're safe at last. Oh, through this token he gave, oh, hallelujah, oh, hallelujah, glory to God. Oh, his blood's been applied, his spirit abides, let the death angel pass. Let's sing this last verse, that sweet Holy Spirit. Oh, it's our token today. And all that are under it, God said would be saved. Oh, outside of this token, that's where the lost will be found. Friends, if you want your loved ones saved, you better get them in that. Then you can say, oh, let the death angel pass, for this bride's safe at last. Oh, thank you, Jesus, in this token you gave. Yes, Lord, that we could be saved. Oh, hallelujah. His spirit. the death angel passed. Yes, those spies went to Jericho, found a place they could stay. They hid on Rahab's rooftop. Oh, she said, these giants are afraid. The scarlet thread was her token. For her whole family she prayed. When God destroyed all of Jericho, her whole house was saved. It can't be for you as well. Oh, let the death angel pass. Oh, yes, Lord, your bride safe at last. Thank you, Jesus, in this token you gave. Lord, in your word you said that we could be saved. So hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, glory to God. Oh, the blood's been applied, the Spirit abides. Let the death angel pass. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we look again to you tonight, Lord, many of us, maybe our thoughts go to our families, Lord. Maybe some of them, maybe an aunt or an uncle or a husband or a wife or a father or mother, sister, brother, cousin, whatever it would be, Father. Maybe there's some of them that are out from under that token. Maybe there's some of them that are running from you, Lord. But Lord, tonight we come together and we agree together for our loved ones, Father. We pray tonight, Lord, we claim the token upon them, Father. Lord, that the same faith that we accepted our salvation, Lord, we go with that little slingshot of faith after each one of them as well, Lord. And we believe with that same faith, Lord, that you'll bring them in. Oh, Lord, may you just get them in the house like you did Rahab's family. Help us to do all that we can to encourage, to persuade, Lord. Lord, not to force it down their throats, but just to live a life that they can recognize. Lord, something on the outside reflecting a work that's been done on the inside. May we be salty, Father, so that they can have a desire to live this life of holiness, of consecration, of sincerity to the Word, Father. Not because of our own self-righteousness, or not because, Lord, that we're just following a set of rules, but because we love you so much that we want to obey your Word, Father. Oh, may we be salty, Father. May it be something that, Lord, it attracts the lost. And may it be something that we have a desire in our heart for those outside of our ranks, Father. May we go after them in faith, believing, Father. May we be a witness. May we be an encouragement. Oh, may we be a help to others that they can see. Oh, how your prophet said Sunday morning in the quote we read, the whole world is starving for love. They just want somebody to show them the real, true kind of love that only can be produced, Lord, through your love that's produced through the bride of Jesus Christ, Father. Oh, help us to show the right kind of love. Help us to show the right kind of grace. Help us to have a handout to help anybody that'll accept help, Father. Lord, just lead us and guide us to those predestinated seeds out here, Lord, that are longing for something. Help us to be a light in this evil, dark age that we live in, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Let's sing it again. Oh, let the death angel pass. In that token he gave, he said we could be saved. Oh, hallelujah. Away, going back to the world, going back to other nominal churches and things. I look around, I think, where could I go? Like Peter said, to whom would we go? To whom would we go? I wouldn't leave this presence. I wouldn't leave this truth. I couldn't go and listen to him tell me that Eve ate an apple. I can do it. I mean, I've come too far to go back now. Oh, where could I go? Oh, where could I go? When I'm needing, oh, for my soul. more. We're just driving along to face temptations. But tell me, where could I go but to my Lord? Oh, we're singing, where could I go? Lord, where could I go? A refuge for my soul, needing a friend to save me and me. Oh, tell me, where could I go but to my Lord? Oh, when I rose up this morning, I didn't have a doubt. Oh, I knew that the Lord would bring me out. So I got down on my knees. I said, Lord, if you please. I rose up shouting praise and victory. Oh, victory is mine. Yes, victory is mine. Oh, victory today is mine. Oh, I told Satan, Satan, yes, behind, 'cause victory today is mine. Oh, when you wake up in the morning, friend, don't have no doubt. I know that the Lord will bring you out. You just get down on your knees. You say, Lord, if you please, then you'll raise up shouting praise and victory. Oh, yes, victory is mine. Oh, victory is mine. The victory today is mine. Well, I told Satan, Satan, get me behind. 'Cause victory today. What about your family? Oh, my family is mine. My family is mine. My family today is mine. Well, I told Satan, Satan, get me behind, 'cause my family today is mine. Oh, and the Holy Ghost is mine. The Holy Ghost is mine. The Holy Ghost today is mine. Blue devil, oh, I told Satan, just get me behind, Holy Ghost today. Let's apply the token. The token is mine. Oh, the token is mine. The token today, Lord, it's mine. Oh, yes, I told Satan, Satan, get me behind. For the token today is mine. What about joy? Oh, joy is mine. Joy is mine. Yes, joy. Well, I told Satan, Satan, get me behind, 'cause joy today, he'll give you peace too. Oh, yes, peace is mine. Oh, peace is mine. Peace today is mine. Oh, I told Satan, Satan, get me behind, peace today is mine. I know victory is mine. Oh, victory is mine. Yes, victory today, Lord, it's mine. Oh, I told Satan, Satan, get me behind. Amen. God bless you tonight. You're dismissed. Let's sing it as we go. Victory is mine. Oh, victory is mine. Oh, victory today, Lord, it's mine. Oh, I told Satan, just get thee behind. Today is mine. Oh, yes, victory is mine. Oh, victory is mine. Oh, victory today, Lord, it's mine. Yes, I told Satan, get thee behind, 'cause victory today is mine. I'll get down on my knees. I'll say, Lord, if you please, then I'll raise up, shout, and claim it victory. Oh, yes, victory is mine. Oh, victory, Holy Ghost victory today, Lord, it's mine. Oh, I told Satan, Satan, get thee behind, 'cause victory today is mine. Victory is mine. Oh, victory is mine. His victory today is mine. Oh, I told Satan, get thee behind, 'cause victory today is mine. Oh, strength is mine, strength is mine. Oh, his strength today is mine. Well, I told Satan, just get